Thank you very much. I always get nervous when they tell me about 12 minutes, but last week I was at the Kentucky for the National Organic Standards Board. And they only give you 4 minutes. And if you ended right on time, you got a T-shirt. And if you went past that, like, you buggy dropped to the floor. So you always afraid of that drop box. I'm speaking to you on behalf of the International Organic Inspectors Association. I happen to be chair of that. I am an organic inspector. I'm one of those guys who go around the country and look at farms and processors and handlers and make the observations as to how it's being done along the way. So there is a big verification program along the way. Organic cover crop is a big deal of that, and so I would like to just share a few things relative to that today. Do I need to go further forward? Is that better? As far as, is it okay? Now, how do I forward this thing?
Just down arrow. Sorry.
Yeah, I tried this, and nothing happened. That's what I was asking.
Oh.
Thank you very much. Soil health in the Organic Systems Plan, or the Organic OSP, Organic Systems Plan, include a required cover crop between each annual production crop. And it could be a hairy vetch, or it could be a small grain, or it could be some of those root. I went Saturday and Sunday to the organic conference where a lot of people from Europe spoke, and it was interesting. They had a talk about biopores, B-I-O-P-O-R-E-S is a word they used, which I don't hear much talk about over here. And those things next to the dollar bill there on the left-hand side on the picture obviously will make some very nice biopores for things to move up and down in, including the worms. Cover crops on conventional farms until recently was not very popular because, as a farmer would say, why do I want to grow a crop I don't get paid for? On the other hand, in March, there was a large webinar done by NRCS in conjunction with ARS talking about some studies they had done in the last 2 years where they had looked at 900-plus farms across the United States, and they had asked the farmers to put cover crop on one field and the one next to it not fairly simplistic data set, but just looking at that, and side by side, having enough numbers, it showed an average of 12 to 13% improvement in the subsequent crop year, whether it be corn or soybeans. And although there are obviously variations from the 12%, some have 20 and some have almost none, that is a significant response, both in numbers as well as in farm income. And, of course, soil health is essential. It's the continued capacity of the soil to function as a vital living ecosystem that sustains plants, animals, and humans. The soil is the basis of everything. And, obviously, you wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that. But I find it interesting to think that in 2015, the United Nations called it the International Year of Soils, and that's their logo I took off their site and put in here. There's a Noble Foundation you may or may not be aware of in Ardmore, and, Oklahoma, doing a great job, and they're talking about healthy soils, and their logo is that soil renaissance, as you see the second one there. And then, of course, NRCS has just recently come out with Unlocking the Secrets of Soil, and that's their logo there, too. So it is definitely an in thing to be in. And so, root diversity, we may not have thought much about that for a while, but when we look at the various roots there below the ground, some narrow spindly one and some bushy ones and some long one that can get some of the buried nutrients up to the ground. Here's another one, a little bit more variation in very long and narrow. Critical root diversity from the above ground yield, from bushy ones to long root ones, etc. And, of course, ground cover versus soil moisture. It's been expressed many different ways. I just took one of those examples here, showing the essential ground cover, how it preserves moisture for plant growth from anywhere from 70 to 100% evaporation, depending on the ground cover. So if we have a good tall stubble, the evaporation demand is only 70%. If it's little cover or cultivated, it's 100%. So And of course, some people use different terms for growing all those bugs on the ground. And there are different numbers on, but soil health somehow is assessed through the types of organisms present, like good bacteria, fungi, protozoa, nematodes, etc. That's just one of the numbers. That's one that's on the soil food web. Everybody has different numbers, and of course it changes all the time. And of course it changes on where you are. If you're on, like the soil sample I received recently to do a conservation plan for NRCS, the soil samples had 1.5 to average 1.5% organic matter. That's different than when I go to an organic farm and they'll have an organic matter of 4 to 5 to 6%. Obviously, the number of bugs underground will be quite different of those two. But we need to let them do what they do best, and of course, it's only when they do what they do best that the plant can pick up what it can pick up, and therefore the fruit of that plant that we harvest, either to eat or to feed to somebody, obviously is better as more of that comes to the ground, comes to the top. So cover crops are very positive. It comes in many varieties, depending on where in the country you're from. I mean, if you're in Oklahoma or western Kansas, as an organic inspector, I go there and I said, so didn't see much about your cover crop, and I'm told that we can't use it because we only get 4% rain, and therefore the cover crop would take all the moisture, and so you need to tell the certifier that we have a good excuse for it. Now, we do plow down or disc down some of the weeds that have grown up in the meantime, and we call that our green manure cover crop, and I hope you'll be happy with that answer. I can only report what I see, but anyway, that's a dialogue. I'm sure, depending on where you're from, you know the dialogue. However, the ARS or NRCS data showed a very positive response, regardless of where in the country it was, and regardless of the crop the next year. So a 12 to 13% greater yield for corn soybeans after a cover crop in those 900 fields side by side is significant enough to take notice. And for those of you who do research in this area and have a hard time finding people to work with on the farm level, this might be a good data to get their attention and say, yeah, I want to do it too. So we know it. NRCS knows it. The risk management associate out of Kansas City, which is the insurance group, they understand it too. And as a matter of fact, based on this data, they have now changed. So they will actually give better risk as risk benefits insurance to organic farmers than they used to before. And they will also give credit for using cover crops, which in the past they did not do. So isn't it about time that you adopted some cover crop usage too? And then another thing that cover crops do is they save water. This is one of those little demos that people use to a short canopy, a medium canopy, and a tall canopy, pour some water on it, and see how much runs into those different jugs hanging underneath there. And the taller the canopy, the less runs too, less runoff. It's a simple little thing, but it's a way to show the farmers that that cover crop does save water. And of course, when the farm is managed organically, the cover crop is required. However, based on some of the recent revelations we've seen, in order to significantly save on the new most limiting nutrient water, I heard a talk on Monday, right ahead of mine, when I gave a different talk, and the guy was from Texas, and he said, our aquifer has in the last 5 years gone down by 17 inches, a foot and a half every year for the last 5 years. He said, I don't know how long it's going to last, but it's not going to last forever at that rate. So, and I know you, wherever you are from, that's the same thing that's happening. So water is becoming very scarce. So it would behoove every farm to cover the ground each year with a year-round covering. As the Practical Farmers of Iowa, they have a T-shirt. I almost thought about taking it on and then, like Superman, pull it wide open so you could see. But they have a picture of a cover crop, and it says, don't farm naked, use cover crops. So that's all I had. The reason I showed that picture there with my nice part and my nice hair, I have for the last 14 months been dealing with bone marrow cancer, and I'm still getting some treatments. And I lost my hair because of it, and my hair grew back again, and now it looks kind of less tighter than what I was used to. But it means that Well, I will share this story because it is interesting. I went to an organic farmer. He was an Amish man, an older guy. And I said to him, my wife had to change the date because of a chemo treatment. And so he said, so I hear you have some health problems. What kind of problem do you have? And I said, sir, I don't have a problem. He said, you don't have a problem? I said, no, I don't have a problem. I have a challenge. Because I can't do anything about what's going on inside me. The oncologist will take care of that. But I can make sure that my attitude is good. And I'm busy going all over the country, flying places. I get three chemos in me by Monday morning, and by noon, by 2 in the afternoon, I'm on the airplane going somewhere. So it hadn't slowed me down at all. He said, so you don't have a problem. What do you have? I said, I have a challenge. And this old gentleman, for whom English is not his native language, said, and I thought it was interesting, he said, oh, you have a problem. You know, you have an opportunity, a challenge, problem, challenge. I said, I didn't even realize that when I used the two words, how different it is. So go home and work with your challenges when you get back to the university or wherever you're working. And don't think of them as problems, because life is a lot easier if you don't do that. It's not on the script, but I thought I would share that because it's a worthy message to just leave with people who can sometimes get focused on their problems. So, any questions?
Any questions for the speaker? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Organic systems, which I'm not very familiar with, are there specific covered crops required for specific crops, or they can grow any particular cover?
There are no specific ones required. There's required to have a cover year-round to reduce water and wind erosion. However, everybody is looking for results on, and I assume many of you are from universities, looking for you guys to come up with the answer as to what is the best cover crop ahead of this crop. And that's a big challenge. A lot of people like Harry Vex until they have one of those seasons where it doesn't get killed quite right. And then you have a mess in your hands. And so I said, well, I thought it was a good idea. Everybody said it was a good idea. Yeah, it is until it comes back up again as a new second crop inside the first crop. So, but no, there's no specific. I did, I'm born and raised in Denmark, and about 7 years ago I flew back to there to a big party on my dad's 90th birthday, and I got on a train in Copenhagen and drove 6 hours to the west coast, and I couldn't believe it. It's in October, middle of October, and everywhere I looked it was green, 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 green. Didn't used to see that, and so I asked somebody what's going on, and they said NRC, or the equivalent to NRCS in Denmark, had come out with a decree that if you had more than 15% of your land not covered by something going into the wintertime, you were going to get a fine. That's why everybody had a crop. So that lasted three years. There was such an outcry against it that NRCS lifted it and said it's a good idea, but it's not a mandatory anymore. So those things happen. Good question.
We got time for another quick question. Anybody's got one?
So with your organic folks, in the agricultural setting that I'm used to, we used to go to the chemical shed and grab something to wipe out the crop that's been planted. What are their options other than crimping?
The question is, what do we do other than use chemicals? And of course, you can't do that in organic. And then, so crimping is one of those. You can disc it under. That's another one. I will share this other thing, which is interesting, because when we think of organic, when I first was asked to do a transition to an organics plan, I remember the county conservationist asking me to come out and see him for an hour before he was supposed to have the young man who wanted the funding from NRCS to help him with his 103-acre organic field. He wanted corn, soybean, wheat rotation. And this NRCS person said, I'd like to learn something from you before he comes and I sign the paperwork for him, because I'm not sure how I can fund this poor guy. Because he wants to use a corn, soybean, wheat rotation. And with the amount of crop tillage he's going to have to do with the corn and soybean crops, particularly. I can't see how he can do it. And I said, why are you saying that? He said, well, you know, we use Russell 2. I know they use Russell 2. Russell 2 is a computerized soil equation model that they run. You put all kinds of things you know in advance in there, and then you run it. And he said, there will be 20 tons per acre of soil loss with all that cultivation. And if there's more than five, I can't fund him. I said, well, let's sign the guy up and see what happens. So I get his data, and I run the NRCS Russell 2 program, and it was 2.6 tons per year. When you took the corn and then have a cover crop between it and the soybeans and then have a cover crop between it and the wheat and then counted the cover crop in between that and the next other 3 weeks. I took a total 3 week cycle with three cover crops and put into a computer as a complete crop rotation. And that was 2.6 tons versus 20 some tons that he thought. So cover crops, there's another way of saying cover crops do work because they reduce soil loss, erosion, wind and water. And so when NRCS want to use that, they call that Russell 2, one of their, call their quote Bible. I like to use it against them by the example I just used right there. And so it seems to help them see that it's okay. I hope that helped answer that a little bit. Thank you very much. I'll be around.